Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Jesus came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown, among their own kin, and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He offered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So about 2 years ago, Rachel and I were having one of those conversations you have at the beginning of a new job, right? Where you're new and you're trying to figure out what your job is and what the responsibilities are, but really you're trying to figure out what is the most important thing, right? And Rachel said, "I got this advice from someone else and I just want to pass it on to you. There's a lot of room here, a lot of grace here. You have room to do a lot of great things. And you have room to make a few mistakes, and that's okay, but there are two things you can't mess up." And I thought, oh boy, what are they? Here we go, let's see. She said, "You can't mess up the Christmas pageant. You just can't." And I thought, okay, yeah, sure. I can deal with that. And she said, you can't mess up the pilgrimage. And I thought, okay, that's interesting. And having worked at a bunch of different churches, that's not unusual. Lots of churches put value on different programs. This is our jewel and our crown. This is the thing that we really think is great. This is the thing that is the centerpiece of everything that we do, or one of the centerpieces. But a few months later, I was sitting in the Journey to Adulthood class. You understand what that is, right? We have several classes for junior high and senior high kids. They start in Rite 13, where they're kind of in junior high school, and at the end of those 2 years, they make a profession of faith. They become they go through a rite of passage. They become young adults as opposed to kids. Then they go through 2 years of Journey to Adulthood, and at the end of that, they get to go on a pilgrimage somewhere to meet God out in the world. Then they spend 2 years in confirmation and contemplate whether they want to commit to this as their faith or whether some other relationship with God is what's for them. So in the middle of all this, I was at a meeting with the Journey to Adulthood class, and we were talking about pilgrimage. And I wanted to know a little bit more about what they thought was up. I wanted to know what the essence of going on a pilgrimage was for them. I wanted to sort of tease out a little bit more about why it was so important to them. So I asked them, what does it mean to go on pilgrimage? What's essential? What if we went on pilgrimage to Hermosa Beach? Would that still be a pilgrimage? And they looked a little shocked. I said, what if we went a little further? What if we went to Manhattan Beach? And then they really started getting worried. You could see this. You could see this sort of fear, this worried face, come through the room. That's a hypothetical question, right? You're not really. I mean, Redondo Beach is wonderful, but it's not Italy. I said yes. That's a hypothetical question. Don't worry. We're here to sort of discern where we're called to go on this wonderful journey, on this pilgrimage. But I wonder why couldn't we go somewhere nearby? Why couldn't we go to LA or San Luis Obispo or San Diego, or even just, you know, come here every day and walk around to see what the world is like around us? We wrestled with it for a little bit, and at the end, some wise soul said, "It's too hard when we're here. It's so familiar to us. We see everything for what it is already. We have to go somewhere we've never been before. We have to encounter things we've never seen before. And that, when our eyes are really open like that, that's where we can see God." And I thought, yeah, yep, you get it. That's right. You have to go somewhere new sometimes to have your eyes opened anew so you can see God where God is. Jesus is wrestling with that in the gospel today. Do you hear it? At this point in Mark, he's performed these wonderful miracles. He's gathered his disciples around him. He's healed. He's preached. He's changed people's lives. And so he's wandering through the countryside, and he comes back to the village where he grew up, and he comes and he starts preaching, and the people around him are underwhelmed. They probably remember him when he was a teenager, and they think, that kid, no. He's back in familiar territory, and it's harder to be surprised by God in familiar territory, surrounded by the familiar. They all know him. That familiarity makes it hard for them to see that this is God right in front of them. Goodness, what would that be like? How could we miss him like that? So the question then, of course, is, what do you do with this reading? There's something wonderful about coming to church every week and seeing our friends, being familiar with the service, and loving the sense of knowing what's next. But it's clear in what Jesus says that familiarity can shield us a little bit, can hide our eyes a little bit. So to know, you just have to keep reading further into the gospel. What's the next thing that Jesus does? He takes his disciples and he says, "Get out of here." In small groups, team up. Don't take any money. Don't take a lot of stuff. Go wander the world just for a little while. See what's out there. You will find places where you're surprised by where God is. And you will find places where you're surprised by how much they need God. And with open eyes, because everything is so unfamiliar, you will suddenly be in contact with the world in a different way and in contact with God a different way. Then, once you've gone out into the world and seen God, you can come back home, just like the pilgrims did, and realize that God was in the midst of you all along.